A reading from the Book of Numbers. Raising his eyes, Balaam saw Israel, encamped by tribes. The Spirit of God came on him, and he declaimed his poem. He said, "The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of the man with far-seeing eyes, the oracle of one who hears the word of God. He sees what Shaddai makes him see, receives the divine answer, and his eyes are opened. How fair are your tents, O Jacob! How fair your dwellings, Israel! Like valleys that stretch afar, like gardens by the bank of a river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. A hero arises from their stock. He reigns over countless peoples. His king is greater than Agag. His majesty is exalted." Then Balaam declared his poem again. He said, "The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of the man with far-seeing eyes, the oracle of one who hears the word of God, of one who knows the knowledge of the Most High. He sees what Shaddai makes him see, receives the divine answer, and his eyes are opened. I see him, but not in the present. I behold him, but not close at hand. A star from Jacob takes the leadership. A scepter arises from Israel." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Balaam's oracle of blessing over Israel is unexpected for two reasons. First, he himself isn't an Israelite, but one of the natives of the land which the Israelites are invading. Secondly, he's being pressured by King Balak, an enemy of the Israelites, to call down a curse upon them. But Balaam simply cannot do it. His mouth cannot utter a curse over a people that God has blessed. Balaam himself explains the reason why. He is a genuine prophet. He sees what Shaddai makes him see, receives the divine answer, and his eyes are opened. The divine word outmatches any human persuasion. Indeed, the divine word is only strengthened by human opposition. All the human factors which conspire against Balaam's blessing just go to show that this must truly be an inspiration from God. Although Balaam pronounces his blessing in the familiar terms of earthly superiority, he talks of heroes and kings and leadership being granted to Israel, the divine source of his inspiration betrays an altogether different kind of authority at work. This is an authority based on true vision, the authority which belongs to the far-seeing. And it is the authority of one who thinks in rhyme with God. Whatever kind of hero king he promises to Israel is surely a leader whose power has the same source as Balaam's prophecy, a source in God's ways, not human ways. So Balaam makes it clear that he isn't foretelling a leader in Israel's midst who is to rise up imminently and bring the chosen people victory in their battles. If God grants them victory in the present, it's not for a machoist assertion of military might for its own sake. Instead, it is for a distant and mysterious and future purpose, not in the present, not close at hand. No one could have predicted the manner in which God would fulfill the promise made through the prophets. They saw from where they stood, and an outline appeared to them in the purpose God showed by his present action. John the Baptist, the last of the prophets, could see clearly enough to call the people to repentance. But not until he laid eyes on Jesus could he declare, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now that the Lamb has come, let us pray for eyes and insight to recognize him in our midst. Let us pray for the eyes of faith.